Welcome to Life Sciences and Science Life, a science podcast of the University of Vienna's Doctoral School of Pharmaceutical, Nutritional and Sports Sciences.
Our team of PhD candidates, along with various experts in the field, talk about current advances in sciences while exploring the challenges and triumphs of PhD life.
Welcome to today's episode. We are your host, Hari.
And this is Ranjit.
And today, I am super excited to be joined by a fellow academic adventurer, Dr. Daniel, a postdoctoral scholar. Daniel, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Hari. So happy to be here. Always love an excuse to chat about life after or during the PhD. So thank you so much.
So Daniel, could you tell us about yourself and the career path that you have taken?
My career path, yes. I'm a chemist from the University of Veracruz because I am Mexican. Then I studied a master's degree in pharmacology in Simvestaf. Then a PhD in genetics and molecular biology also in Simvestaf in Mexico City, both. Then I worked in a private university also in Mexico where I was coordinating the biomedical engineering. The name was Anahuac University. And now I'm here for a postdoctoral internship.
So thanks, Daniel. So nice. You moved between research and teaching a bit, right? So how did you decide what step to take early on in your career?
Well, for me, actually was kind of easy because I think sometimes it's hard to find your vocation or what you want to do. And in my case, since I was a bachelor degree student, I love to teach, for example, some of my partners that they feel like a subject, kind of hard, for example, and it was not that hard for me, you know? So I love to do that and just for free, you know? Or, for example, for kids or people younger than me, I used to help them for math Olympics, you know, or for being like better students sometimes. So it was easy for me. And specifically regarding the question, research have that part of contribution. I feel I am contributing with something. I mean, you don't have to find the cure for cancer, you know, in your research during your PhD. You can also find a specific receptor in a cell type, for example, or something very particular that help the next guy, you know, the next question. And you can provide an element in this chain of events, you know, and that's important and you are contributing. So I think that that's very nice. And regarding teaching is just satisfaction, you know, I love it when I teach. The time spent like more quick for me, you know, and I finish a class with a good mood and happy. So that's just satisfaction and something I like to do.
So I see there is curiosity for science and the fascination and satisfaction when you do teaching. So I would like to know why you changed or how you felt when you changed from being a teacher to a researcher. And what pulled you back into the lab environment, to the research?
It's motivating. You start something different and it's challenging because, I mean, teaching, I was get used to do it, you know, and doing research. I mean, as I mentioned before, I feel I can contribute with something. And challenging myself with that, it's kind of motivating. So I think that was the reason.
Thanks for the great perspective. So as a PhD student, when it comes to a career choice after a PhD, like I have to think like whether I want to go to academia or industry or some public sectors or even starting something on your own, what do you think are the biggest myths or misunderstanding about each path from your experience?
One myth, I think, is that if you are in academy, like in positions like master degree student or PhD or even a postdoctoral positioning, maybe you can think that industry is not for you. You need to work just in academy. And that's not true. Actually, there are a lot of projects industry can offer you here in Europe, for example, and even in the US or Latin America. And something I can tell you, Harry, about this is I think you need to define what you like most, and you can do whatever you want from different perspectives. For example, let's be honest. I like money, right? Who doesn't? I like money. I love money. So, for example, in teaching, I can create a YouTube channel. If I love teaching, a YouTube channel and make money with that, for example. Or in the government, if you work in a public sector, you can try to make deals and make some competitions or calls to get the best talent you have in your country, right? In industry, you can work the part of contracts or human resources. And for example, in entrepreneurship with an idea, for example, and you can also make money with that. So, I mean, I mentioned the four sectors and from a different perspective about you like, you can have that approach, you know?
So you nicely put across four different sectors that a PhD student can you know, have their career in. Do you think students should actively prepare for all the four sectors during their PhD or focus only on one direction?
Maybe kind of a non-popular answer, but I think focus. Definitely focus in one direction, because I remember I had a very bad year after my master's degree because I couldn't find a job during almost one entire year, right? And one of the best advices I received from my brother was you need to know what you want to do because you are looking for any job, you know? And the human resources personnel detect that you are just like okay, let's see if this fits, you know. But no, you need to show your vocation about what you want to do and why you are applying for that. So my best advice here is that it's obviously a benefit, it's obviously good you know from every single sector, you know, because if you know about entrepreneurship, for example, you can have a revolutionary idea or mix this idea with your professional career path, all right? But when you are looking for a job, I mean, I recommend guide your CV, I mean, just focus to what you want to do, and then okay, don't close the door from other directions, but definitely the best thing you can do is know what to do and focus, especially at the beginning.
Indeed, it's very nice, thank you. But you know what is troubling me is the risk associated with following the thing that you are happy about, that makes you excited. So on that regard, how would you choose between an academic job or an industry or having your own startup? And how would you evaluate the risk and how does the thought process?
Well, if it's about choose, I think it's a false dichotomy, you know, you don't really need to choose. I Remember, for example, when I was the dean of biomedical engineering in Mexico, I also used to sell some things like technology equipment, for example, and do some other things beside my main career path, you know? So I think, okay, my main focus decision, it's about I love. And I love to teach, I love academy, so this is going to be my main focus, all right? But I don't necessarily need to discard the other path, you know? So, my advice there would be don't close the door. If you need to choose, if it's really necessary, I think it's a question of vocation. I think it's better than looking for money or for satisfaction. I mean, it's better look for your happiness and what you love. And then in a second place, again, the complementary things. I mean, no closing the doors.
Okay. So sometimes, you know, we make decisions like choosing a career, which we may not enjoy after a certain time. And we would like to shift to another one and experience a different choice. So for people in a dilemma, whether to continue or to shift, how would you help them? What would you tell them to do?
Okay. I would say always look for a third alternative, because we try the problems like a dilemma, most of the time in these situations, right? So option A or option B, and that's it. But maybe there's a third or fourth option, and you need to express correctly what are you thinking and how are you feeling to the correct person. I mean, the person can share with you a correct answer for this. And for example, I can share with you the next situation. When I was coming here to a postdoctoral internship, I was afraid losing my job in Mexico because it was a job I liked. Actually, I love it. But when I was talking with a friend by phone, I remember telling him, look, I don't know what to do because I really want to take this opportunity. It's very hard to achieve this financial support from Mexico's government for going to another country and do this, but I will sacrifice my career here. So, and he answered me, why don't you negotiate? I mean, why don't you express how do you feel to your boss? I mean, my boss in Mexico. And say, okay, I have now this opportunity. It's an opportunity for 1 year. It's a very good chance to do this, etc. And ask for permission. And suddenly for me was like, okay, I haven't think in that until I hear from him. So I ask for permission in the university and they grant it. Okay. So, and well, you cannot be 100% sure what's going to happen tomorrow or in 10 days or in 15 days, something. But now the plan is that I achieve the financial support for 1 year and I can be back because it was a very good opportunity. They trust in the work I used to do there. So I think you need to try don't entirely close a door. And look for a third alternative that gives you that chance to test the thing you are interested in without quitting, you know, entirely the thing you were doing before. Maybe that would be a good perspective of that.
Yeah, I see. So you balance both the situations, like both your current profession as well as your next choice that you want to do, and try to merge them and find a middle ground between these two.
Exactly. I mean, sometimes it's just I'm scared. You know, I'm scared to lose what I have. And I think that's reasonable. I need to be honest here, right? So, it's part of my personality, and maybe some people feel this way, you know, and maybe this is a good advice for them, you know.
Yeah. It's definitely a good advice. Yeah. On the topic of time, there's a thought that is always coming into a PhD student's mind. Is it, when is it the right time for me to think about my career? When can I start, and how can I start? So for you, how would you advise such a person, like, you know, how to go about with their career, when to think about it and how to act on it? So could you tell us about it?
Yes, I would say that you need to try things. I mean, not just planning. It's very good to plan. I mean, it's very, very good to plan. One professor used to say that each minute of planning, it's 5 minutes of execution, something like that, right? So it's a very good thing to do, but start also doing, not just planning. Because, for example, I made this mistake when I was a master's degree student, that I didn't plan or start to do something before I received the grade, and I lost 1 year. I was almost one year without a job I really like it. So, I mean, if you know you like science communication, for example, you can start with a podcast during your PhD. That could be a good example of that. If you like to teach, you can start preparing some kids or young people for a competition, for an Olympics or physics or mathematics or something like that. If you have an interesting idea, you can look for a partner and start to trying some things in your free time, or when you speak by phone, you know, or we're drinking a beer, and I mean, put some in March, put some ideas to run. And okay, start to planning. It's good. You can start planning since you start your PhD or your degree, or since you start your decision, whatever it was. But also start to do before that stage of your life gets to end, right?
What's the one thing you wish someone had told you at start of your PhD?
Okay, maybe this is very specific, but I remember a very good advice I received years after studying my PhD. It's prepare your CV specifically according to the job you are applying, but I mean, not just in a question of vocation, also in the image of the company, you know. And this is a very nice thing to pay attention. So if you are listening, these kids, students, please pay attention to this. If you are applying to a pharmaceutical company, you can use a mark of water in your CV with medicine, for example, or with the logotype of the company. Use the colors of the company in your CV. If the company use blue or purple, I don't know, you can use that on your CV. Personalize your CV according to the company and the job you are looking for. So, Harry, if I am being very specific in that advice, but I remember that was very, very, very helpful for me after not finding a job for a while. So, okay, I think that would be a good idea.
So, Daniel, one key thing that comes to the table when we are discussing about career options is the word networking. You know, people always encourage to network and to find colleagues who can, you know, put them in the limelight and to help them find a job. So how would you see this networking, and could you tell us your tricks and your thoughts on this?
Okay, I think you need to defeat the shame. I learned this in Anahuac University. I mean, the private university. I was coordinating biomedical engineering because I was not just in the lab anymore. You know, because when I was studying my PhD, I was just in the lab, and all this networking thing was in charge of the principal investigator or my boss or maybe a postdoc or someone else. And when I achieve this position in a private university, you need to do networking because you need to collaborate with people with you in the university, but also in the area doing some things. I mean, I needed contacts for positioning students in hospitals or in labs, in other institutions or companies. So you need to defeat a shame. And I think it's not a good advice. I mean, don't be ashamed. I mean, because it's like saying, don't be afraid, all right? It's also, I think, good to be afraid of some things because that's evolutionary. You know, that's a survival technique of the people, being afraid or some things. So I think it's good to be afraid of some things, but you need to defeat that afraid about, for example, making connections, networking. And in this case, you need to defeat your shame and get closer to the people, talk with them. What are you doing? What do you think about this? I am thinking in doing this or that. I would like this idea or to carry this idea for an student because this student has this potential, for example. And if they look a genuine, a truth interested in what they are doing and why you are interested in them, I think you got it.
Great. Actually, I had a very broader perspective on the four different prospects on the career you shared with us. But I would like to ask you, what are the top 2 to 3 things that genuinely made your PhD years more manageable or enjoyable? Because as a PhD student, I need to have some perspective on this from you.
Yeah, I mean, you need like a life hacks, you know. I always had hobbies. And for example, I also like coins. I have a collection of coins in Mexico. And being in Europe, I am trying to make myself a new collection of coins. I mean, not expensive ones, but I like also that. Another thing I can share with you, it's find another motivations. It's also good to have another aims or objectives, like having your own home, like starting your own family, like traveling if you like to travel. So you can find also motivation beside not just academy, but your main career path. And a very important thing I would like to share with you is to trust people you love and look for help with them if you need them. I mean, sometimes we have like hard times, you know, and I think it's correct, it's right to ask for help if you feel sad or lonely. Or you just had a bad day at work. It's always a good thing to do. Share that bad experience with a friend and drinking a beer or something. And that always makes you feel better. Maybe not always immediately, but I think that's a good thing to do as a life hack if you are a PhD student.
We are coming to the end of the session. I would like to ask you a final question. What next for you, and what kind of advice would you give to someone planning their next steps after their PhD?
Well, Next step for me, I think, will be always teaching, because it's what I love. So it's going to be always my next step. If I am doing a postdoc, if I am again the dean of a bachelor's degree in a university, if I am a driver, if I am an astronaut, something else, my next step, it's always teaching, because I love to teach. So and well, that's the kind of advice I can give here. You can look what you love in anything you are doing, because, for example, in my case, it's to teach. So I can teach young people about biology, about chemistry. I can teach other students to perform a specific experiment, or to run some data analysis, for example. And I also can teach how to do a magic trick. So I can find the thing I love, I mean, to teach in my career, in academia, in magic tricks, in industry, for example, or an idea, entrepreneurship, for example. You can teach also that. So you can try to find what you love in whatever you are doing in that moment.
Thank you, Daniel, for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. It was a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Life Sciences and Science Life.
That's it for this episode of Life Sciences and Science Life. We are your hosts, Ranjit and
Hari.
Tune in next month for more intriguing science topics, relatable PhD experiences, and expert contributions on how to navigate a career path of a young scientist.
Our next episode is going to be about the impact of null results with Dr. Marietta Zille. This is a podcast of the University of Vienna's Doctoral School of Pharmaceutical, Nutritional, and Sports Sciences. Don't forget to follow us on LinkedIn. Thank you for listening. See you next time.